Tonight we're talking about online Zen, at least I call it online Zen. I'd like to talk about surviving after this course. I'd like to talk about just dealing with the immense flood of the web. It took human beings hundreds of thousands of years of evolution to produce the same amount of information that we upload onto the internet every day. It took them up until 2013 to produce all of that and for us to count it. And now we push that up every single day. And as time passed, back in the old days, it became increasingly difficult to learn everything, to know everything. And that's because even 2,000 years ago, there was too much to learn. Thank heavens back then, most of it was hidden. You just couldn't find it. The problem that we face now is that all of the information that gets uploaded every day is not only instantly visible to us, but it scratches us. It gets sent to us in a whole range of different ways. We get pinged and ponged and emailed and Facebooked and LinkedIn and oh my Lord, we're getting hammered by just lots and lots of noise. And it would take hundreds of lifetimes just to read one exabyte of data without even trying to understand it. That's 17 complete British libraries. There's not enough time to read everything new every day. There's not even enough time to read what's in there every day. And there's a name for this anxiety. It's called the fear of missing out. It's this anxiety that we feel when we're not staying up to date, we're not experiencing everything we possibly could. Wikipedia's actually got an amazing description. Let me just quickly pull that up for you. It's a pervasive apprehension that others might be having rewarding experiences from which one is absent. And amongst the most common of those is the thing that the fear that somebody else might be learning stuff that we aren't, that they're going to get a little bit ahead. I want to deal with that primarily because it's one of the biggest anxieties I've had. It's one of the biggest anxieties that everybody has. And in amongst all of that, it's one of the reasons we have no time left. I believe that the single most important skill we need right now is simply an acceptance that we cannot assimilate everything. Heck, we can't even assimilate everything within our chosen field. We need to be, in some way, discriminating about what we choose to read. And all of this is compounded by the fact that it all changes so much, and the same piece of information gets rewritten by so many people that when it lands on our desk, we're getting the same stuff 10 or 15 times. To try and give some context, when automobiles first appeared about 100 years ago, you bought one and you kept it for a very long time. It was probably the major investment in your life. It got you from point A to B. That's all you wanted. Even the worst auto was better than a horse. And a few years later, auto manufacturers realized that everybody who could possibly afford a car had one. The problem is they needed to sell more. And they devised a new payment plan so that the rest of us would be able to buy a car without having any money. And then a few years later, they realized that the market was once again saturated. And so they began to change cars every year. Big wings, different colors, chrome bars. And they began to pummel us with advertising that made us feel so inadequate if we had an older car when our neighbors were driving a newer car. And here's the thing. This is like the web. We're inadequate. Somebody's going to get ahead. And yet it made no difference that underneath the body of the car, underneath the shell, underneath the skin, the engine was the same. And if it wasn't the same, it had very, very tiny improvements that made it only a little bit better than its predecessors. Basically, you were getting absolutely no additional utility. You'd be manipulated into buying the new version so that you could feel better about yourself, because your neighbors apparently looked up to you if you had a new car. But by then, most folk had never ridden a horse, and they didn't recognize the small increase in utility for what it was. A tiny, tiny increase out of proportion to the added cost. Now, I'll talk about that in some detail when I give you a couple of demos a little bit later on of some of the stupid things I've done. But for now, it's not going to come as a surprise that the average millionaire in America doesn't drive a new car. I'm not talking about the flashy Trumps and the like. I'm talking about the average guy that lives next door. He buys a car, he makes it last for a long time. He's got money in the bank. He wants to keep it there. We can't afford the car. We don't have any money in the bank. and we buy it nonetheless. Maybe it's because we have no money that we need people's approval so much. I don't know. But back then, you could still switch off the radio, ignore magazines, bypass the TV, and go and sit in the grass somewhere. We no longer have that option. Because wherever we go, we drag along the world's biggest interruption, which is a mobile phone. It's in this context I must talk about Armageddon marketing. Armageddon, as in the last days, the biblical fear. In an exabyte of data, in the total sum of human knowledge, basically being added to the web every single day. How do we get your attention? In so much noise, how do we get your attention? And the concept is called Armageddon marketing. And that's when somebody sends you an email and it says something along the lines of, forget everything you knew about marketing, which frankly is shocking advice. It's probably the single signal that you're about to be fleeced, but it tells you that every single prior product or service to this one is crap. It probably uses those same words. And every single writer on earth has the tools to make this incredibly emotional. We all have lists of words designed to trigger your deepest anxieties. One of the tricks of the trade is to use a number in the headline. 10 ways your old system is broken. 5 ways the web is going to eat you up unless. It's called clickbait. It's designed to get you to click. Okay? And every single one of these takes your attention away. And it's so incredibly well written that you begin to think you can't live without it. And you want to buy it as quickly as you possibly can. And once bought, you discover how much effort is involved. And that the results, if there are any results, are just incremental. And if I can put Facebook into this context, I've hated advertising or the concept of advertising on Facebook for about 10 years. During the past 5 or 10 years, Facebook has been pushing the concept of likes. Apparently, if you get a lot of likes, you're a better person. You've got a better product. Okay, here's the thing. A like has no value whatsoever. Likes are free. I can give as many away as I want. And I'm pretty profligate with them. And that's just me. I can engineer it so that you get a lot of likes from a lot of different people, most of whom are in the Philippines and have got nothing to do with you. And a like is, it's not a currency. It's like the Zimbabwean penny back in the days when the Zimbabwean dollar, you needed sort of 3 bucket loads of Zimbabwean dollars to basically buy a small suite. If you forced people to pay just 1 cent for every like they issued, the number of likes in circulation would drop by about 1,000%. They would drop to maybe a millionth of what they really are. Because the moment you want somebody to put their money down to show their appreciation, things change. So a like, frankly, you might as well spell it B-U-L-L-S-H-I-T. That's the value of it. It's nothing other than a transient approval from somebody who may not even have the authority to give that to you. The point that I'm trying to get to is almost nothing online is so urgent as to demand your immediate undivided attention. If something looks important, the best way to assess how important it is to check it out on Google Trends, maybe create a Google alert just to keep you informed, and then forget about it for a while. I think it was Albert Camus. If you love something, set it free. If it comes back, it's yours. If it doesn't, it never was. And so it is with most of these new ideas. Let them go. Put your eye on the thing, see if anything's happening, but let it go today. It's going to be there tomorrow. And the special offers, they're going to be there tomorrow as well. Bottom line, too much noise. An exabyte of noise every day. Trillions of pages of noise every day. We can only read a few. And what that means is we have to be incredibly careful about what we choose to read. I have a very simple process these days. I open up my email box 3 times a day. At about 6 in the morning for half an hour, I'll clear whatever's happened overnight. At about 12, I'll clear whatever's happened during the morning. And at about 5, I'll clear whatever's happened during the afternoon. Because every single time I go in there, there's a bunch of stuff that is not directly relevant to my task. And it's interesting. It's distracting. Somebody will send me an article that he wants me to read and he wants me to comment on. He's a client. Of course, I'm going to read the article. And then that article leads to a different article. And next thing you know, that your half an hour's gone and you've answered one email. Read as widely as you can. Just don't do anything until you need to. And that's hardly ever the same day.